Rachel, good morning.
Hi, Sean. How are you going?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Thanks for joining us here on The Daily.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Firstly, can you tell us about this blue-green algae and the toxin that's actually found within it?
Yeah, so people might be familiar with blue-green algae because it forms green carpets on water bodies. So you might have seen it on lakes or rivers as these bright green-coloured sort of scum. So it's kind of probably more commonly known as pond scum, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, its correct name is cyanobacteria, and it turns out it's a species that's over 3 billion years old, and we think it may have created the oxygen atmosphere on Earth. So it's evolved over many, many years to grow in all kinds of environments. It can grow in freshwater, saltwater, it can grow in desert crusts, and it can even grow in thermal ponds in like Yellowstone National Park. So it's pretty much distributed all across the environment. Oh, and the toxin you wanted to know about?
Yes.
Yeah, so it makes this little compound that is called BMAA, and that turns out to be quite toxic, and that is able to accumulate up the food chain. So if, for example, the toxin is in algae and there's fish living in that toxin in the algae, and you eat the fish, you can actually get the toxin through the fish. And there have been studies showing that it accumulates in things like prawns, mussels, and lobsters and other sorts of crustaceans. And people that eat a lot of contaminated seafood are at a greater risk of getting neurodegeneration. So it seems to be distributed throughout the environment because it accumulates up the food chain.
Hmm. Well, obviously you mentioned there the algae is found all over the world, obviously a very resilient sort of algae that's growing in all sorts of different places. And if this toxin is a known element, just have we been cautious of it in the past? Do we actually understand the effects before now?
Well, for many years we've been studying this toxin, in fact for over 40 years, because initially it was identified because indigenous people on the island of Guam in the South Pacific seem to have a higher level of neurodegenerative type diseases. And that was kind of a mixture of a bit of Alzheimer's, bit of Parkinson's, some motor neurone disease. And they seem to have a 100 times greater amount of disease than the general population.
Mm.
And so obviously scientists initially looked for genetic links, you know, was this a genetic condition? And they couldn't find any. And so they then looked at the environment and the food that these people were eating and found that they were eating seeds from a particular tree, and in the roots of the tree, this algae was growing. And so this toxin was able to absorb into the tree and concentrate in the seeds, and when the locals made flour out of the seeds, they got a big dose of the toxin.
It's scary stuff.
Well, the problem is that you don't just have to live on Guam and eat seeds from a palm to get exposed, like as I said, because it is everywhere in the environment. And to answer your question, as are we very aware of it, well, we haven't really been aware of the implications of it in the past. We've known from, we've noticed that people that eat a lot of seafood get sick. We've noticed that people that live near bodies of water that have lots of blooms get sick. But this is the first time ever we've been able to demonstrate in a scientific study that it causes this brain in these brain tangles that you see in Alzheimer's. So this is the first evidence that it actually causes disease.
Mm. So how big of a leap is that for researchers?
That's huge, particularly because most neurodegenerative disease, as you said in the introduction, is not genetic. About 5 to 10% of it is caused by genes, and the rest we just don't know. So for many years, scientists have been looking for toxins in the environment. You may recall many years ago, people were thinking that aluminium may cause Alzheimer's, and people were told not to use aluminium saucepans when they cooked food. So there's lots of things we've implicated in the disease, things like head injury and whether does smoking play a role, does alcohol play a role. Now we know for sure that this is one of the environmental triggers that can trigger the disease, and so this allows us to hopefully better understand the condition too, so that we can maybe design therapies and possibly even, you know, slow the disease or, you know, best case scenario, a cure. But science is not that simple.
Yeah, of course. No, these things do take a great long time to develop. But obviously now that we do recognise one of these triggers, what is the next step for researchers into neurodegenerative disease in order to say, well, these are the triggers, this is what to avoid, this is how to treat it?
Well, the first thing, obviously, is that we can now get people to take precautions to limit their exposure to this toxin. So one of the things I want to say is that if, as I've said, that the algae is all over the place, you know, in water, in the deserts and everywhere, if that was the only thing that was causing these diseases, then we'd all have those diseases, and we don't. And in fact, the greatest risk for Alzheimer's disease is aging. So obviously there's got to be other things that come into play for you to get a neurodegenerative disease, and that probably involves this toxin, maybe some other risk factors, possibly a faulty gene, and all those things have to come together for you to get sick.
Mm.
But the other thing that we discovered in this study, which is really probably one of the most interesting things about this new research, is that this toxin was fed to animals and they got very sick. Every single one of the animals that fed the toxin through fruit got very sick. But if they also had a supplement that is quite common and cheap and readily available, that reduced the damage to their brains by up to 50%.
Mm.
So essentially, we've also discovered something that we think could actually prevent damage from these kind of environmental toxins. And so when you ask what's the next step, well, the next step now is we're doing some trials in America right now looking at the safety of that supplement in humans. And so we've taken patients that have motor neurone disease and we're giving them this supplement to see how much they can tolerate before they get bad side effects, just to determine the safety of it. And then the stage after that will be to see if we can recommend people can actually take it.
Well, it is some fascinating and very important research, Rachel. Do appreciate you coming on and unpacking it for us a little bit.
Thank you very much, Sean. Don't pack it. It's okay. Just don't swim in green, crusty pond water, and don't eat algae, and you should be okay.
Very, very fine advice. Rachel, thank you very much. You have a very good day.